Hi everyone, welcome to The Skinny, where we get down to the nitty-gritty of style, fashion, beauty, and living an empowered life. I'm your host, Shazan, a fashion and beauty expert in the industry for 20 plus years, a wife, mom of two, and I'm here to help you become your most beautiful and confident self from the inside out on a savvy budget. Imposter syndrome. I don't know how many people have heard about this, but with imposter syndrome, the challenge becomes embracing your worth. So today we're going to talk about not only imposter syndrome, but embracing your worth and your value. And if you've never heard of this before, you may have had these feelings, but this is an actual thing. Imposter syndrome is also known as imposter phenomenon or fraud syndrome, and is a concept describing high-achieving individuals who are marked by their inability to internalize their accomplishments, the great things that they've actually done and achieved, and also a persistent fear of being exposed as a fraud. So this is something that it popped up again, and not until recently I even heard about this, but then of most recent, connecting it with a celebrity that we know was just the other day after the Oscars. It's after winning the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress in the movie Fences, Viola Davis, as amazing of a woman as she is and as worthy as ever, she shared that even with all that she's done and accomplished in her career, she mentioned in this interview for ABC, like, you know, they go backstage and then they do these individual interviews with the different networks. She mentioned that she still suffers from the imposter syndrome. And she has this feeling like she's not worthy of all of these things that are happening to her. And she fears that one day she'll wake up and everyone will see her for the fraud that she is and the fraud that she believes that she is, even again, after achieving all of these great things. And I found that to be so interesting when I heard her talk about it. And then again, it popped up on GMA, you know, where they were talking about it. And realizing like, oh my God, this is like really a major thing. Because I hadn't connected it with other people, especially when you see really successful people, that it just automatically, for whatever reason, within people becomes difficult to think that they're having such a battle with where they are and with their accomplishments because they function fine. You get on just quite well with everything and you're working your butt off and you're doing great things. So you wouldn't assume from the outside that this is something that they would even be battling with. But when I heard her say that, it definitely made me pause. But at the same time, I could totally understand and relate to some of what she was saying. Because for as long as I can remember, it's not instinctive or second nature for me to talk about things that I've done or accomplished in my life and career. Unless I'm in like an interviewing situation or some other situation where I actually have to. Other than my children, of course. I'll talk about them all day. And for some people, it's like always on the tip of their tongue and they're ready to fire off when it comes to, you know, letting people know all that they have done and how deserving they are of it. And I think that's truly commendable. But for me, it's so different than how I feel. And the way that I feel, I thought for all of this, all of these many years, that was probably a rarity, you know, and the odd thing about me. And the other very interesting thing about imposter syndrome is just how many men and women suffer from this. And honestly, again, I didn't realize it was such a big thing that affected so many people. And so here's a little bit more about it. If you're, you know, still wondering what this whole thing is. So the term was back in like 1978, it was coined by psychologist Dr. Pauline Clance and Suzanne Imes. And it's something that affects an estimate of about 70% of people. And despite the external evidence that they have in their life of their competence and achievements, they're still convinced, like Viola Davis, like she said, that they're frauds and don't deserve the success that they've actually achieved. And so according to another doctor, Dr. Weinschenk, Weinschenk. Sometimes when I see these doctors' names, I'm like, oh my God, I'm totally going to brutalize it. It's Dr. Weinschenk. And so proof of success, what people that are dealing with this, what they tend to do is they dismiss it, their success, and look at it as luck, or it was just timing. And they fight with the belief that their success is really a result of themselves and their hard work, but they think that they're deceiving others into thinking that they're more intelligent and competent than they believe themselves to be. So it's just like this continuous war in their head. Like I read on this, there's this college student and she got a full scholarship, excelling, her grades are like top notch. And she was still battling with this thing and believing that the university would soon find out or discover that they must have made a mistake with the scholarship that they'd given her and that she would have been found out. And when she wrote about it. So in reading about that, there was one day where she actually broke down to her friend that was in university as well and saying, you know, oh my God, I feel like I'm such a fraud. And, you know, I feel like, you know, this is not, and that's luck, and this is whatever, and blah, 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 and ripping herself to shreds. And despite this impressive GPA and accolades that she this long list of accolades, she just believed that the school made a mistake and she wasn't supposed to really be there. So she was just like riding the tide. But then to her surprise, her friend told her, look, everybody here is feeling that. He was feeling it. He knows other people that were feeling it. And then she realized that she wasn't alone. And this was something that was, you know, popular amongst people who were actually doing well. And there was a paper written by, the paper is actually called The Imposter Phenomenon in High Achieving Women. And this was written by Dr. Pauline Clance that I mentioned before. And she actually devised a scale to help identify people dealing with this. And she asked participants, as she was doing this, how much they agreed with statements like these. And so I wanted to share them with you guys so that you and I can see how we answer to some of the questions too. Okay, so here we go. Is it hard for you to accept compliments? For me, yes. that gets a yes. I feel naked, honestly. Like I feel like, oh, okay, let's change the subject. You know, I can take it, but it's not a comfortable thing. And here's another one. Is it hard to accept praise about your intelligence and accomplishments? For me, that gets a yes. And here's another one. At times, do you feel your success has been due to some kind of luck? Well, for me, in this area, that gets a hell no. Because I work my butt off and I am fully aware of how hard I work. And so that's where I said some of the things actually I can connect with. But yeah, no, I know I work my butt off. This is not luck. And I think sometimes the opposite of what happens is when you'll have someone see how hard you're working or see the accomplishments or the opportunities that present themselves in your life. And then they were like, oh my God, you're so lucky. And it's like, yeah, no, that has nothing to do with luck. So that one is a no for me. My my success is not connected with luck. It definitely has to do with hard work and God. So another one, do you often compare your abilities to those around you and think that they may be more intelligent than you are? So for me, that one gets a no as well. So, and the comparison, in reference to the comparison, is since I was going through, when I was younger, if you're not familiar with other podcasts or heard me mention before, that I dealt with a lot of bullying and it affected me in a great way. So after bullying and regaining and rediscovering my self-confidence, I don't do the comparison thing with others. And that's probably a bit more extreme for me just because of those times when I was dealing with it and when I was younger and being made fun of, and you know, I just really hated being the odd one out. And so I went through such an extended period of time through my youth wondering if maybe I look this way, or maybe if I look different or look that way, if that would make people accept me more. So it was like this continuous consumption of, oh, maybe if my legs were this way, maybe if I was bigger, maybe if I was shorter, maybe if my face looked this way, maybe if my nose was this. And so all of this comparison, maybe if it looked like this person on TV or that person on the magazine or whatever. So after all of that, and I finally got that monkey off my back, it's just something that isn't a part of me, like comparisons in any capacity, like in career or life or accomplishments or any of those kind of things. So the comparison thing, I think my needle went the complete opposite direction. And with this, you know, it's really interesting. So because I do believe that with what people do or what they have or what they've accomplished in their lives is for them. And that's how I see it for me as well. So we all have like these individual paths in life, and they're all uniquely there for us all as individuals. And that's what makes life so unique and eclectic and, you know, really interesting. In my opinion, that's how, you know, I personally see it. So I'm not really one on the whole comparison thing. So imposter syndrome, first of all, is not a mental illness. It's something that just about or almost everyone experiences. And it used to be referred to as like this woman's issue in the beginning. But in actuality, that's been put by the wayside. It actually affects both men and women. But here's why it may seem like it's more of a women's issue is because men, they said, with the different studies that they've done, are less likely to talk about the feelings that they have, which would then indicate the imposter syndrome. Because for them, you know, they know that as a man, I'm supposed to be confident and, you know, I'm supposed to achieve and all these different things. So when they're feeling otherwise, they're not likely to mention that. It's just like, you know, how some men believe I'm not supposed to cry because it doesn't show strength and, you know, whatever crap I think that is, you know, because it that has no reflection on that. But that's where that whole thing comes from, where, you know, initially it seemed like this was more about women than men. So here are some of the traits. See if any of these apply to you. And after listening to this podcast and these different things, like shoot me a message and give me your thoughts. You can do that through Shazon.com, or you can send them to me through my Instagram at Shazon, DM me or something. But I thought this was really interesting. So here are some of the traits. I know you're going to be answering while you're listening, but let me know how it goes afterwards. So you have difficulty accepting praise. You tend to discount your success. You feel a compulsion to be the best. You're often described as a perfectionist. The fear of failure can totally paralyze you. And you sometimes avoid showing your confidence just so that it's then not up for debate or you're not highlighted with the information that you actually know and do have. Because again, you feel like, okay, you're going to be exposed. The other one, you can't help comparing your struggles. And I found this one really interesting because according to Jay Spankles, the definition of this is, this particular one with the struggles is, although some part of you knows and accepts comparisons as subjective and that everyone's journey is different, the persistent voice in your head assumes everyone is getting by with life with much less struggles than you are. So I don't know if you have friends or if this is you, where the things that you're going through, it leads you to believe that, I mean, it must be something inherently wrong with you or you're the problem. Nobody else has it as hard as you do. You know, nobody really gets it, or whatever these other things are that goes through your mind. And that actually feeds your insecurities. So it's like this, you're having conversation, but what you're actually doing is having a comparison of your struggle versus the other person. So anyway, moving on. The last two, you focus more on what you haven't done. You don't give your credit to the things that you have done. It's about, oh my gosh, I still haven't, or, you know, oh my gosh, I should have been at this point by now. And then lastly, you're convinced you're not enough. So this persistent and overwhelming feeling comes in of being a fraud right here, because even though you've like hit the bar and you're, you know, doing so much, you still feel, okay, somebody's going to find me out. All of that, the goal at the end of all of that that we're dealing with is that we have a challenge with embracing our worth. And that's what we need to do. So the imposter syndrome correlates with success and high achievers and the people who are doing really, really well. But this is the way that they feel. And people who tend to be perfectionists, which means pretty much that likely you're spending a lot of time making sure that you're excelling at everything. Like you're overthinking it and overdoing and working overtime and all of these different things. And that's consuming you. So when you see that these are the different things that are happening, this is probably what it is. And there's no legitimate reason that's out there to really be reluctant and fearful of showing comfort and confidence in our abilities. But that can be easier said than done, of course. Like every motivational thing, you on the receiving end, me on the receiving end, it sounds great, but it's the application that becomes the challenge, like how to put this into action or to switch your brain in the way that you think. And especially for people facing this, it really is an internalized challenge. So there's this woman, Olivia Goldhill, and she stated in one of the writings that she did called Brilliant Frauds, though it may be a predictor, though imposter syndrome may be a predictor of high achievement, it's definitely not necessary. It's not a necessary condition for success. So after all of that, all I want you to know is that you're worthy and that your success is deserving of praise, and so are your accolades. You know, the challenge definitely comes there if this is something that you're dealing with. So after all of this, the question is, how can I help myself if this is something that I have? So here are a couple of practical ways to deal with it and hopefully get over it. And the first thing is recognize that it actually exists, because usually when we realize there's a name to it, to what's happening, just like when we're sick, when we can find out what it actually is, then we stop stressing about it because we know right away. So first, recognize that it exists. Next, allow yourself to embrace positive feedback from other people. And one of the things is don't attribute your success to luck. Like that's something that you have to personally stop doing and stop robbing yourself of your actual achievement and make note of your success in a journal or a folder. Keep records of your accomplishments. For people from back in my days and whatever, like a memory book, those kind of things, or you have your memory box or whatever it is, whatever format it is, the digital or not digital. But, you know, keep those things, because even if you're not obsessing about it on a daily basis, it is a great thing to go back periodically and look through just to help yourself. And acknowledge and accept that perfection does not exist. I'm taking this for myself too. Like, you know, just ease up off yourself. Know that it's okay to seek help from others. Like, find that person that you can trust. Because, I mean, in life, you don't want to be sharing or putting yourself in a vulnerable place with anybody. You really just want to be sure that these are people that care about you or that have the knowledge that can help you or keep you accountable. So again, know that it's okay to help others, and that even the best people out there, the people that you may admire or you think have it all together, they do it. My favorite of all of this is be proud of being humble, because I just find it's just how I am. I'm not a bragger. And so I don't think there's something wrong with that. I don't think that I need to become like this bragging person, but it's the other layers that that definitely would benefit from getting a hold of. The doubt and, you know, the embarrassment or uncomfortable feeling that you get with compliments and, you know, acknowledgement of what you've done. So that being said, it's all about embracing your worth. You know, this is what the psychologists have written down about it. It's a challenge, you know, that we have, and so many of us have. Again, now that we know what it is and it actually exists, then we can take control of it, because it's not a medical condition. So we can put that aside. And as always, you deserve to live beautiful. And you deserve to live an empowered life. You've been listening to The Skinny with me, Shazan. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for next week's podcast. Bye.